result of what you think about. He says we take facts, experiences, and the events of life and assign meaning to them with our thinking. And scientists are discovering that the brain has the ability to reorganize throughout your entire life. In other words, your brain, watch, is neuroplastic, which means it has the ability to change. That's good news for us, because you can be transformed. Your mind, your brain can be wired in a certain way, but if you renew your mind, especially on the Word of God, with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can change. There is hope for every person. You may have lived a life where you've been plagued with negative, abusive, difficult, despairing thoughts and addictions and things in your life, and you think, I'll never change, I'll never change. But listen to what the Bible says. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So what does that tell me? That if I change the way I think, I can change who I am. I can become a new person. I can overcome anything that's in my life that's plaguing me if I just change the way I think. Now that sounds easy, but it's not easy. But if I want to change, I need to change the thinking of my heart. And if who you are and how you live is determined by how you think, then if you change the way you think, you can change the way you feel. And if you change the way you feel, you can change the way you act, and you can change the way you live, and you can take on a whole new lifestyle. It's called the transformation of renewing your mind. Have you ever faced a roadblock in your life that keeps you from living the way you want to live? Or you know you should live? If you face the same roadblock over and over, it's time to step back. It's time to look at what is causing the roadblock. It's time to look at what kind of thought life you've been having. Everyone experiences a block in their life. It's something that keeps you from achieving your goals. Have you ever heard of writer's block? A writer who makes his living from writing will have a block. And what that means is that there's so much going on in his life or her life that when he sits down at the computer, and normally when he sits down, just stuff pours right out of his head into his hands, and he begins to write all these things that need to be written so in order for him to tell the story that he's telling. But when he has so much stress, so much pain in his life, literally nothing comes out of his fingers. There's a block. And because all he can think about is the emotional garbage in his life. So how do you get past a roadblock? And what does your roadblock look like? Roadblocks are usually caused by your thinking. When we come up against a block in our life, whatever it may be, we need to take the time and ask the Holy Spirit to remove it. How many know the Holy Spirit helps us? The Holy Spirit is your helper. The Holy Spirit is your guide into all truth. He will lead you down the right path. He will give you what you need to get past the roadblock. I want you to look with me at John chapter 16. We're going to read 13, 14, and 15. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth, and the truth will what? Set you free. John 16:13. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. That's a lot of words. But basically, what is it saying? The Holy Spirit will take what belongs to the Father, that the Father has given to the Son, and he's going to make it come alive in your life. It's the Holy Spirit that illuminates the Word of God and causes it to come alive in your life, bringing about change. And you can have a strong, strong roadblock, addiction, struggle, difficulty, a thought life that you can't change in yourself, but the Holy Spirit will give you the power to change. The Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. He will illuminate truth to your life. It's not about getting smarter, but it's about letting the light of the gospel, the light of the gospel, dispel the despair of darkness. How many know when you turn the light on, darkness has to flee? And so what we need is the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to our life and begin to think in a whole new way, and you will become a different person. The Holy Spirit is the one who activates the Word of God in your life. Ephesians 3:20 says this: Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Where is the power? The power is in us. The power is the Holy Spirit. If you've given your life to Christ, the power of God lives in you. If you've given your life to Christ, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And there is nothing that can keep you from being who God wants you to be when you have the power of the Holy Spirit actively working in your life. Amen? And the transformation of the Spirit happens when we renew our minds according to the Word of God. It's not automatic. It's not like osmosis, where if I lay down at night and put the Bible close to my bed, that I'm going to automatically be transformed by the renewing of my mind. Because no, I haven't renewed my mind according to the Word of God. Just sitting in church, it's not automatic that this is going to happen. But when you come up against a roadblock, you need to take out the Word of God, which is sharper than a two-edged sword. How many know the Bible is powerful? Amen. And you need to put that word in your heart. And if you meditate upon that word, the word will begin to work by the power of the Holy Spirit from the inside out, and you will become a brand new person. It's so true that you will be able to change your thoughts, and then you change your actions, and eventually your feelings will catch up. You say, well, I just don't feel like doing that. Well, that's when you have to decide. It's a choice. I'm going to do this regardless of how I feel, because I know that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So how do you break the cycle of a negative thought? You have to choose with the leading of the Holy Spirit to bring that thought into your consciousness, where it becomes plastic or moldable, or where it can begin to change. And then what this means is the physical part of your memory becomes weaker, vulnerable, able to be manipulated, and then you choose to replace those thoughts with good thoughts, and then those negative, depressing, despairing thoughts will begin to be eliminated out of your life and even your memory. That's how we can begin to be changed. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his pleasing and perfect will. You've got to replace those thoughts with good, wholesome, positive, godly things. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 and 9 goes like this. Finally, brothers, whatever's true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, if anything is excellent, praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Did you hear that? He says you think about these things, and then you put them into practice, And then the God of peace will be with you. And the power of God will change you from the inside out. So let's try to be real practical this morning. Let's say I have a problem with worry. So what do I do if I'm just constantly just worked up, out of sorts, in a knot with worry? Well, somebody might say, well, you can pray. Yes, amen. How many believe in prayer? Amen. But another thing that I can do is I can begin to say, you know what? A worry is just the wrong kind of thinking. It's the opposite of meditating. You know what it means to meditate, because you do the opposite of meditating on God's word when you worry. You think about some negative, depressing, discouraging, worrisome, fearful thought over and over and over, and it plagues you and takes the life right out of you. So one of the first things that I do, if I struggle with something, I say, what does God's word say about that? And then you say, well, Pastor, how am I supposed to know what the Bible says? I've never been to Bible school. Well, what you do is you can begin to just look in your Bible and try to find it for yourself. You can talk to your Sunday school teacher. You can talk to your pastor. Or today we have Google. You laugh, but it's very helpful. It's easy. It's like having a concordance right there on your phone. You can ask Google. It's very simple. I can say, Google, I need scripture, Google, about worry. And here's Google. Google's right here on the front row. Can you find me a scripture on worry? You got one? Philippians 4, 6, and 7. All right, so here's what I do. I go right to that, look up Philippians, and it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here's what I used to do. I used to put it on a little recipe card. Then I would carry those verses in my pocket, and I would have several. I might have 10, I might have 15, I might even have 20 verses. And I would pull them out, and constantly throughout my day, I'm renewing my mind according to the word of God. And guess what? It works. You feel better. And not only do you feel better, but you begin to act in a whole new kind of way. And what it does is it will cause those negative, depressing thoughts that plague you to be removed from your life. So you know what I do today is I have a program on my phone, and it's called Scripture Typer. And what I do is I look that verse up, and here it is, right there it is. And then I begin to read it, and then they have a little way for me to learn how to memorize it, and I just start typing the verse. Do not be anxious about anything, but with or in. And then as I work through it, I work through the entire verse, and it says, oh, you were 75% accurate. And then, so I go back and I do it again and I do it again. And eventually what it is, it's a way for me to memorize the word of God, hide the word of God in my heart. And then I might find another scripture, and I might do that. And I might find out that on a Saturday morning, instead of being overcome with worry or fear or anxiety or grief or loss or whatever it is, I took about 15, 20 minutes just to meditate upon the word of God. And then after I've done that, or while I'm doing that, I begin to pray. I pray through the word of God. Do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer, present your requests to God. So, Lord, I give you this anxiety right now, and I'm presenting it to you in prayer, and I'm asking, Lord, that you will give me the ability to overcome. I just begin to pray through that. And I go back to the scripture, I read it again, and then whatever the Spirit prompts in my heart with the power of God, I just pray through that scripture, and then the peace of God. Do you believe this can happen? The peace of God that passes all understanding will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. what it means when it says guard. Paul chose that word very strategically. He was writing to the Philippians, and that was a Roman colony. And they understood military. It was a military city. And they had a Roman legion there. And they would protect the city. And Paul was saying that the peace of God will garrison your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So when evil, depressing, discouraging, despairing thoughts come and plague your life, you will be protected by the power of God. And I want to challenge some of you believers today that have been in the Word of God and been in church all your life. Don't depend on the same scriptures that you've depended on your entire life. The Word of God is so rich and so full. Dig deeper. Go where you've never gone before in the Word of God and find truth that will set your heart free, not only for yourself, but for other people. Amen? And search the Word of God, and God will deliver you and set you free. So here's what I do after I pray through that, and as I study that, as I memorize that, I ask God to work in my life, and then I do something else. Or this is what I should do. Just a minute. I might say, you know, Gary, hey, could you, Gary, could we go out and get a cup of coffee sometime? And I say that to Gary at church, and what would you say to me then, Gary? What's that? Let's go. You want to have some coffee with me? Well, come on over here. Let's go out. And we just got done playing 9 holes of golf, and I beat him by 2 strokes, so he feels real bad. And we sit down, and, you know, we're talking. We're talking about how we change. Anybody here need to change? Or are you all perfect? No, we all need to change, right? Sometimes we get complacent, and we think, oh, see, what are we talking about? Starting fresh. The only way you can experience something fresh is you've got to do something you've never done before. Are you with me? Because it's so easy to fall right back into the same old, and just keep doing what you've been doing. And if you keep doing what you've been doing, you're going to get the same result. That's insanity, to do the same thing over and over and over again and think that you're going to get some kind of different result. But you know what? The Bible says that we have victory in Christ. I've got to search out that victory. I can't just think that because I'm a preacher that victory is going to be mine. Listen to me. The devil's going to attack you. He'll attack me. He'll attack the deacons. He wants to destroy this church. He does not want Williamstown Assembly of God to thrive. And you know, the only way this church will move forward in the future and impact this world that we live around and we are in is if we, the church, will be the church that is victorious in Christ Jesus. I can't look at certain people and say, they're the ones that'll carry it and I'll just kind of ride along with them. That'll never happen. Every person has to be a functioning member of the body. And we can't help anybody else unless we are healthy ourselves. It's okay to be sick, but don't stay sick. Nobody here is perfect. In no way, shape, or form am I saying that you should have it together, or you got it together, or I got it together. I will not judge you because I know that I myself have been sick, but I know that Jesus is my healer. And that God wants to not only forgive me, he wants to set me free, set my feet upon a rock to stay, that I can be a testimony to the world. We are living in the last days. Our time on this earth is now. This is the opportunity that we have to be a witness for the Lord. So what I do is that I've got to change. I cannot say this. I literally had a lady in the church tell me this. Well, Pastor, that's just the way I am. You think God's pleased with that? God's not pleased with you thinking, well, that's just the way. He wants me to be like Jesus. So if there's something in my life that is causing the joy of the Lord to be stolen from me, or if there's something in my life that does not reflect Jesus, then I need to not be content with that. I've got to go to war against the enemy and say, I am going to rid my life of that. The Bible says, be changed, transformed by the renewing of your mind, and the spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells within you. How many know that depression doesn't have a chance? You can be free. So what I do, I find God's word, I put it in my heart, I memorize it, and if I take time every day to think about these things, and then when I have these thoughts come into my mind, I just attack them with the word of God. And then I sit down with a friend like Gary. Doesn't have to be Gary, it could be somebody else. And you know, Gary, I thank you for coming out to lunch with me today, and sorry I beat you in golf.
Yeah.
That was rough, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was awful tough.
Was it?
Yeah, it was really tough.
What did you think of that shot I had on the seventh tee box?
Well, I think it's all luck, really.
You know, people tell me you're really good at golf, but you know, I just haven't really seen it.
You haven't seen a real golfer.
No. But, you know, thanks for, you know, buying me lunch today, and after church today, buying me lunch, too. I really appreciate that. You know, that's great. You know, there you go. But, you know, hey, Gary, there's been something I've been really needing to talk to you about. And it's not easy, but I know that I can trust you. And you know what? If I got a problem, I should have somebody in my life I could talk to about. If I got an issue, listen to me. They tell us that pornography is an issue in the world today, right? And so what do we want to do when we have things like that in our life? We're tempted to hide it. Never talk to anybody about it, right? But I'm not saying I got a problem with pornography. I just, you know, brought it before you today as an example of something that when we struggle, we've got to pray. We got to put the word of God in our hearts, but we got to find somebody that will be our accountability partner that we can talk to. So, Gary, you know, I've been struggling with worry. Man, I can't even sleep at night because I'm just, you know, they laid off some people at where I work, you know, and I'm just afraid I'm going to lose my job, and how am I going to provide for my family and all? So I just wanted to ask you to, you know, pray for me, and if there's anything you think I need to know, I just want to be available. I just want you to speak into my life.
Well, worry, yes. We all worry, don't we? One thing about being old is I've went through a lot of worries and fears, you know, in my life. But I say I went through. God took me through, you know. That's a good part. You know, when you're young, you worry about things, you know, my job, my mate, you know, but we pray about it, we give it to God, and he takes us through. You know, God takes us through. We just keep trusting him, keep that word of God in us. You know, you said you have little cards. I put scriptures on in my, you know, my pocket. I memorize each week. I like to have a scripture, and that word of God really helps me a lot. And without the word of God, you know, I could be depressed. I could be down because, you know, even at my age, there's always a worry. You know, a while back, I had a little pain in my ribs. You think, this could be it. I might have cancer. I'm going to die. But the devil's a liar, you know. No problem. But, I mean, all my life, you know, you worry about your mate. You worry about your children. I remember when I was young, my boys were just real young. It was just back in the early 70s, and we was going into a new year, and I thought, boy, how am I going to make it? I mean, I got these house payments. I got to take care of these children, you know. I'm a young father, and God gave me a vision. He said, Gary, and he showed me he's going to be out in front of me. He's going to be knocking everything down. For over 50 years, God's knocked everything down.
He did what he said.
Wow. And that's so God, we can trust him. You know, you can trust him. Yes, every day. For over 25 years, I read through the Bible every year. You know, you got to keep that word in you. I mean, you got to, just like I keep it in my pocket, you know. I don't have all that on my phone like you do.
sometimes I start to pray, and I just wonder if God's even there.
I know it. You do. But he is. You know, his word says he's there, you know. He says, you know, you the righteous cry, the Lord hears and delivers. It says in Psalms 34, you cry, you cry.
You've actually read that?
Yeah, Psalms 34. Yeah.
Did you hear that at church? Or did you really read it?
I read it. I read it.
You see what we're doing?
Yeah.
He's just talking into my life. And,
yeah.
You know, and that helps. And then what will he do at the end? He's going to put his hand on my shoulder. And he's going to pray for me. And how many know that makes a difference?
Hallelujah. Yes. Keep praying. And my phone's always on. You know, if you need me, well, it's off right now.
You did good.
Okay, thank you. You did too.
Yeah,
thank
very good. Very good.
You,
all right. Thank you. Thank you. Now, see, what we need to do is be that kind of person for whoever the other person is. But then at the same time, we need to realize all of us, when you've in Gary's place, been in this for a lot of years, if he gets away from the Word of God, his experience will not carry him through. You've got to have a fresh experience with God by the Spirit and in his Word. You know, there's a ministry in the Assemblies of God called Teen Challenge. How many have heard of Teen Challenge? Now, Teen Challenge has a success rate like no one else. They have so many people that go through their program and get delivered from life controlling issues. And if you get familiar with Teen Challenge, you find out that it's very Bible based. And it is they teach these men and women to hide the Word of God in their heart, and they pray and they get filled with the Holy Spirit. And it's simple, folks, but it's profound. It's the power of God in his Word and by his Spirit that sets you free and totally transforms your life. God never intended for you to live with some kind of negative, depressing, defeated struggle that seems to just sap the joy right out of your life. We all face trouble. We all make mistakes. But God wants to deliver you. He is my deliverer. But listen to me. If I just come to church, sit in church, and hear a sermon, sing a few songs, and then go and spend no time in the Word of God, no time in prayer, no time, no accountability partner, then you know what? I will never really change. Because it doesn't happen by attendance. It happens by personally opening up my heart and my mind and renewing my mind to the Word of God every day. And I do that, and I will continue to do that. And when I struggle, I am going to pour it on. I'm going to do it more than ever. And then I will find the liberty that God has for my life. Now, I'm going to close with these thoughts here. We all fail. But there's future for a failure. You with me? Regardless of the failure, there is hope. It's never too late to start over. It's always too soon to quit. You're never a failure unless you give up. Jonah 3:1 is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. You know the story of Jonah, right? God told Jonah to go one direction. He went the other. And he decided to do exactly opposite of what God told him to do. So God had to take him on a Mediterranean cruise. That's right. And after the cruise was over, Jonah got the message. Jonah 3:1. Listen to this. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. Do you get the point? God gave Jonah a fresh start. Gave him a second chance. The word of the Lord came unto Jonah a second time. And I'm telling you, the word of God, the word of the Lord is right there for you today to give you a second chance. Are you glad we serve a God of a second chance? And your past does not have to define your future. I'm telling you today, God wants to raise you up to be a testimony of the transforming power of God in your life.